Guys, if you don't like structure, if you just went to free fall with us, listen to the Jibber Jab.
Free fall.
Free fall, just like Tom Petty. You can come and listen free to this. Free balling. Because I'm free.
Free balling.
Why do you say balling?
Because it wasn't that like the...
What is this from? Is this from a skit? Like a,
no. Yes.
No. Yes. It was.
That was always the... Y'all, anybody listen to Free Fallin'?
I'm sorry, yes.
In the 90s?
Right.
That was like the running joke was like free balling.
Like, why? Like basketball? Like I'm balling? Or like I'm balling like I'm crying?
No, like men who don't wear underwear, they're free balling.
I like that I took it everywhere but there.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I've never heard of that.
Are you free balling right now? They're like, yeah, I'm not wearing underwear.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to Reality Bites, the podcast where we'll deep dive into this week's buzziest reality TV and pop culture happenings.
I'm Betsy, and while I may be 9 to 5 by day, I'm a reality connoisseur by night.
And I'm JJ, a reality TV producer by trade, but my favorite pastime is dishing unfiltered dirt and behind-the-scenes scoop. We'll tackle the biggest and best water cooler moments of the week through an insider lens you won't find anywhere else.
Buckle up, buttercups.
Please don't tell me it's about Tom.
It's about Tom.
This is Reality Bites.
By the way, I want to talk about this because this is hysterical. So you and I are talking right now. I pushed record because we're just bantering and...
Oh, very sneaky. What if I said something really inappropriate?
By the way...
Like, I still like Ben Affleck.
By the way, really we do that sometimes on shows. They'll warm somebody up and and won't tell cast members that they're recording.
Wait. Okay, but paint the picture for me, because when you have cameras, you're just saying that like cameramen will just stand around with the camera on their shoulder, but you tell cast, oh, they're not rolling, but they're rolling.
Correct.
Ooh, dirty. When I get dirty. Ooh, I dirty. Like that. Very sneaky.
Very sneaky.
But I guess they signed a contract. They can't do anything about it.
That is true. But it's more for you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose the trust.
Right.
Like if a cast member found out that I did that, all trust is gone.
Right. But
to build that back up is very
potentially
difficult.
Something that they would not have known until they see it unfold, right? For themselves.
Or they just notice it in the moment and they're like, wait, were you recording?
But then what do you do? You're like, oh no.
Yeah, but some people are really bad at doing that.
Of course.
Some people are really bad.
Joe, put that camera down. Joe Gorga, how did you get that? Put that down.
I can't tell you how many cast members I've lied to.
Well.
I feel like, by the way, what we're talking about right now can be its own episode. I just want to put episodes out there of us talking and saying nothing. We'll talk about all the important stuff. This is like the bonus. Like if you want to listen to this bullshit, and I say bonus, like it's exciting for you to listen to. I just mean bonus as in it's not
extra content.
Yeah, it's just
that's
like extra
not
bullshit.
Necessarily attached to any particular show.
Yeah, I mean, some producers played really dirty like that.
You try not to do that. But if something great is unfolding,
dirty? I don't know what dirty is to people. Like I've never been like things will be like okay, I've never lied about it. Now, if I see a cast member like on the phone, I'll look at my camera op and I'll just literally look at them going.
And okay, you have to say what you're doing because
well, of course,
you JJ's even, doing a gesture like she's a third base coach on an infield. Or
by the way, yes,
field.
That's exactly.
Like rounding third. But
what I'll do is
doing.
I'm whipping my finger around in a circle. Usually it's the symbol to wrap it up. What I'm saying is roll.
Oh.
So instead of it being roll. Wrap it up, like, you know, guys, you'll have to like fling in the arm, get the finger up in the air, wrap it up. Now,
rolling.
I will do that to my cast members. I'll go, wrap it up. And I'll get in their eye line and go, wrap up the conversation because you're going nowhere. Because you're on the road to nowhere.
Yeah. Ooh.
Keep that out. But this will be like, roll. Sometimes I'll be like,
yeah.
We need to roll on this. I'm whispering because that's what I would be like. I wouldn't say it, like scream it, but. Yeah.
But you're also there, call it dirty, call it whatever you want. You're also there to do a job. They're there on set, I would imagine, if there's cameras around. So if they're there on set and, you know, it's like, it's fair game.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it is. But you'd be surprised how many of them just cry about it.
Oh. Everything is geometry.
Guys, it's because I've been hitting that vape pen hard.
Just hitting the vape.
If you don't know it by now.
If you don't know me by now, you will never, 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 never know me at all. Ooh, wow, you can tell that you can tell that we've known each other a very long time.
God, you can.
Because we just looked at each other and went into that.
We just went into that. By the way, I sincerely apologize. When we look at the data, because you can see when people drop off the episode, this is it.
It's the singing. I feel like the singing is what brings people in. It's just they don't know us yet. They don't know us by now.
They don't know us by now.
Damn it.
Will they ever, ever,
will they ever,
ever know
ever,
us at
ever,
all?
Ever know us? Ooh. All right. Well.
All right. Let's get into it. Do you watch The View?
No.
Did you ever watch The View?
It's really hard for me to even watch like clips of The View. I mean,
why?
If you're asking, did I ever like sit down and watch it? The answer is no. I think like back in the day there were, and it came more from like if celebrities were on that I was interested in, I could like watch, or I would be, you know, sometimes I would sit down and maybe watch the Hot Topics. I just kind of found it insufferable. I don't know. it wasn't for me. I'm surprised to hear that you watch it though.
I haven't watched it in a very long time. Okay. Well, I haven't watched it.
I'm getting a little worried.
I
thought you might've been somebody else.
I haven't really, what am I, undercover? I'm undercover as a View watcher.
Well, I don't know. I just didn't think that would have ever come out of your mouth.
I've always watched The View since I was a child. I'm just saying that right now, like with what's going on in the climate, I get all my news. I read everything.
You get all your news from The View? The View is how I view my views.
POV. Yeah. My point of The View. That should be a whole other podcast. My point of The View.
Ooh.
I like the little play on words.
Okay.
Anyway, I've always watched The View as a child. Meredith Vieira. Heyo. And
wait, was that when Babs was on? That was the earliest. Okay.
Yeah, that was 1997 when it came out. Anyway,
I love Babs.
Yeah, of course. Baba Waba. She's such a bitch. You know, she's such a bitch.
I don't care though. I mean,
I can love Babs.
There's some people that I'm like, when I find out they're a bitch, I'm like, well, yeah. She's one that I'm not bothered
by.
Well,
when you're an asshole to Elizabeth Hasselbeck, I mean, it's
well, I don't care about that.
Who gives a fuck about that?
I don't care about that or her husband and the football career that he had.
Oh my God, I forgot he played football.
Oh, not very well.
No, of course not. But I'm saying, I forgot she was married to somebody who played a sport.
Exactly.
No, anyway, what I was trying to say is that if I was always a watcher,
You were always a viewer, is what you meant to say. I think.
Yes. Well, what I was trying to get at is, although it's like, I have a hard time watching the news lately because it just, like, not to sound like conspiracy theorists about it, but everyone's paid, you know, it's like Comcast owns NBC Universal, NBC Universal owns Bravo, you know, Bravo owns Andy Cohen, like, it's just like a whole fucking thing. Okay. So it's like, everyone just owns everybody and everybody, you know.
Yeah.
A newspaper will release a really great article and a great headline, and you'll realize that it's owned by like Elon Musk because he owns this or like whatever. So it's all bullshit. Anyway, my point being is that I don't watch the news anymore because it just feels a little skewed. Mm-hmm. So I don't watch The View, and I haven't really watched it in the last like 6 or 7 months. But I had an idea for us to do some hot topics, things that have happened in during the week, the zeitgeist.
Okay.
Is there anything that you...
I'm hoping you're going to tell me because...
I'm going to tell you all the hot topics.
I get my hot topics from Yahoo, basically.
You know what's so funny?
I don't scroll. I'm like, oh,
Yahoo?
Okay.
Do you really?
And then I go to ESPN and then I get... That's where I... Honestly, I don't watch the news in the morning because it bums me out. I watch ESPN, a show called Get Up, and all they do is talk about sports. And I'm like, I feel so safe right now. And I love this safe space. And then I go on Yahoo.
Why are you going to Yahoo?
Well, it's already saved in my computer. And so I go there and it has all my little news and my celebrity news.
Why aren't you going to like Vulture, the New York Times, the New York Post? what else? Vanity Fair, Hollywood Reporter.
Because my palate is like a Wells alcohol drink. Like, it's not very deep. So I feel like Yahoo's very comparative to, like,
I get that.
But I love that you think, I don't even know what the fuck Vulture is. I mean, I know I've heard of it, but I've never gone to a site
of the that's New called York Vulture. Times.
But I would like to. Maybe it's of something.
The New York Mag.
It's something sorry. I maybe can escalate to.
Yes. Vulture subsidiary.
But anyway, so I'm counting on you to tell me what
the I am going
to
tell you. Okay. Are. So obviously, I mean, like, here's what I love about you the most is that you are a reality TV expert, enthusiast.
I would say I'm an enthusiast. I don't know that I would say I'm an expert.
You're an armchair expert.
Okay. I'll let you give me that title.
You're not doing like a special course at Yale about reality television and studying the Kardashians. If they offered
that, I'd probably have to get rejected, but I would try.
C's are degrees.
C's are degrees. That was my method growing up.
Yeah, it was my method growing up too, because
and I got them.
Once I heard it from your mother.
He was a counselor.
By the way, who's a fucking counselor?
She was like, maybe C's are degrees. And I'm like, that is so true.
The second I heard that, I remember in college feeling so validated. I remember feeling like I had an excuse to fail.
No, it's not failing. It's just... No, but,
I mean, okay. Bunny ears, fail.
Yeah.
I was like, fine, great. I was like, I'm so excited to fail.
So that's why I don't really...
Sales or fails, as Betsy always says.
That's why I don't go to Vulture. Because I'm hanging out with Yahoo and my Caesar degrees.
Okay, well, speaking of the hot topics that we're supposed to get into, yes. I'm going to try to get us back at the ranch here a little bit. Mm. And speaking of sailing and failing.
Yeah.
You know, as Andy would say, like a mazel and the jackhole of the day.
Uh-huh.
All right. Did you hear about Ramona?
Yes, okay. I did. I didn't. I honestly didn't read the fine print. I actually found it. I found it from a TikToker. I do a lot of the. I do a lot of the talks, as the kids say, or they call it the tick, the TikTok.
The tick.
I think they call it. I'm on.
I
the
got
talk.
Bit by the TikTok.
I'm on the talk, Mom. I don't know, guys. I'm not. Oh, that.
There's a
I
whole really, thing about mom talk.
I'm not that old. Okay, I'm not trying to go down that rabbit hole.
Did you hear about the mom talk?
No.
I'll get to that in a second. Okay, so going back to Ramona.
I'm just saying that the only reason I saw the Ramona thing is because somebody was talking about it, that she basically got an invite to Teresa's wedding and like flash, like where it was, where she's registered and like all of this private stuff.
Of course she did.
But this is also the same woman who showed us her bank information. So I guess I'm
so be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Just be cool, anyway, Ramona.
Speaking of, that's, you know who she's talking to in that?
What?
She's talking to Heather.
She's talking to Heather, yeah. Well, listen, I stand with Heather, but I also kind of stand with...
Luann,
too. Yeah. Well, she goes, your guy was married. Oh, well.
What? She's kind of like, shrugged her shoulders, walk away. Yeah, so you saw that Ramona did this.
Yes, I did.
And I saw the video myself on Ramona's account. And she just, like, puts it all out there, the whole invitation. So then the internet goes wild. And they see the username and password to sign into the wedding registry to RSVP. Now, I guess typically at high-end weddings, high-end celebrities, especially when you're going to have celebrities RSVPing, every guest who you've sent an invitation to, maybe outside of being a celebrity, right? Just probably people who are of notoriety, they'll get their own username and password as an individual to sign in an RSVP. But Teresa didn't do that. So like somebody like Andy Cohen and then Kyle Richards and then Dorinda, all of them all got the same username and password. So then people start.
Like, that's so fitting for Teresa. Of course, though, actually.
But first of all, Ramona, the fact that she got an invite is beyond me, but I digress. So then people started like RSVPing. Then people were like, started sending in comments and tips and stuff to all of these bloggers being like, Joe and Melissa declined the wedding. And I laugh because they would never decline a moment to have camera time. There was no way on God's green earth they're not going to the wedding. But anyway, my point being is that it got hacked. So then she had to change the username and password. But what's the point? So now she has to reach out to every wedding guest to ask them if they're coming to the wedding or not. Where they were supposed to just have a username, password, sign in, say if they were coming. They were supposed to RSVP, you know, pick their meal, whatever it is that they do. See the gift registry. But now they don't have that. They don't have access to it. So they all got their invitations with no access to RSVP.
And it's
Ramona.
Here's the thing about Ramona that just blows me away, and this is a personal opinion, but I feel like a lot of people probably share this, is that I don't think that there was any ill intent. I just don't think Ramona even fucking thought for a second, like, what she was doing. As not. Ramona, she's just doing as she's going. She's not thinking at all. She's, yeah. Oh, look what's up. Not even thinking that people are going to be able to pause it, write it down. I mean, those people are the real weirdos, but like really be able to dissect it, because Ramona has no self-awareness. So like, that's the thing that blows me away constantly about Ramona, is that she can do this kind of stuff, but really she'll be like, I didn't know.
She's very flighty. She never knows. Remember? Anything.
Kudos. 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 He's like, what are you saying? He's like, Ramona, it's kudos. Yeah. Kudos.
Remember this? And she said, and she gets up and he's like, what are you doing? And she stands up and she's like, I got a cramp. My leg went to sleep. And she's pounding. Oh, you can't hear it, but I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm pounding my leg.
And he's like, we're going to lunch soon. She's like, okay.
Oh, I mean, God, Ramona. Listen,
love her or hate her, but she's good for a laugh.
Yeah, she's 66 this year. Mm. You think she's too old for to be a housewife?
I mean, I don't know. I will say, I don't know that she's as, and when I say quick, I don't mean like quick, but like, I don't know that she's.
What are you saying? She's like senile?
Well, no. I'm just like, when I say quick, I don't mean like a Bethany Frankel quick, like she's quick with her words and like really like fast. I just feel like
she's agile.
Ramona always like is very reactive. And I feel like kind of the older she's gotten, she's really tried very hard to be very reserved and like. She'll say,
Kate, well, I'm sorry. Sane. She's tried hard to be reserved.
She'll say stupid things, but like, I don't know that she's, I don't know. I think the older she's getting, it's less comical. I don't think she has dementia. I'm saying, I don't know.
It doesn't land as well. Like, not that it ever landed well, but.
Well, this season also was really bad for her, but I did love when she tried to explain Virgo. This is the kind of stuff when she's like, see, this is what Virgo feels like. And she like falls over. I still love that type of Ramona.
Virgo, like the astrology sign?
No, Virgo, like the illness, like spinning.
Oh, vertigo?
Vertigo. Thank you. Vertigo. That's why I know I've been hanging out with JJ too long. I'm talking in fucking signs.
My last show, I got vertigo.
Well,
the last show I did, I got vertigo.
Well, she has vertigo very badly, and she did a demonstration where she stood up and pretended to fall over. That's how bad it was. But really, it was just to get out of What's-Her-Face's dinner about Black history. She's like, I can't be here for this.
Wait, which one? The Black Shabbat? Or where everybody had to be like a certain Black historical figure?
No, it was
figure.
That one. That it one. Was before
the one that Ebony threw.
Yes, it was before it. The diabolical.
They were all diabolical. Oh,
this one was not.
Black Shabbat bad. Was embarrassing.
Yeah, it was horrifying. So, I mean, she still's got a little bit of kick in there.
When Betsy and I had this idea for the podcast, and we talked about it earlier, and our producer probably did not make notes on this because it was irrelevant, but we discussed kind of how the podcast came to be. So just to kind of give a little bit of backstory, I think this would be a little bit more fun to kind of talk about how we got here, who we are as people. And as much as we want to talk about Beverly Hills, and we will, and Kardashians, and Dubai, and do bye-bye.
We will Atlanta.
Atlanta. But Atlanta didn't have an episode this week is what I'm saying.
True, yeah.
So before we get into all of that, because sometimes I got to be honest, I'm just tired of talking about those old bags. Because aren't you? I'm just like, fuck off. Like, I can't.
Oh, my God.
I can't. Well, because first of all, half of those women make $1 million a year. And yet they do. I'm not. When I say $1 million a year, I'm not kidding, Betsy. Guys, for anybody who's listening, for the 25 people who have decided to click and download, rate and review. I'm not kidding when I say, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic is what I'm saying. They 100%. Make that's anywhere insane. From 900 to a million.
From the show? Or anything just from other million. From other
just from like... the show. Just from the show.
Wow. That's
because kinda... I know what people make on other shows, and
so that makes me feel not bad for like making a bad comment here and there, because I'm like, they're doing just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak, they're not always making that. So if you God, you want to talk about salaries on shows?
We do.
Let's just get into it.
Okay.
All right, so here's the thing.
So we call the producer's corner.
Producer's corner. It's like, I don't know. I've never seen Beverly Hills contracts, right? Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen that. In fact, I've seen some contracts on shows, but not Beverly Hills.
Okay.
But I do know what cast members on shows that I've worked on have made, Bravo specifically. And I do know what the tiers are, and usually a roundabout. So you have A cast members, B cast members, and then there are some people who float in and out of a show.
Are B cast members like a friend of, so to speak?
Similar to, okay. Depending on the show. If it's Housewives, it's a friend of.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a large docu-soap like ensemble, Vanderpump, like a Vanderpump Charm. Yes, they're going to be more like they operate like a friend of, but they're called B cast.
Okay.
And everybody gets paid. Everybody gets paid to show up to work, because at the end of the day, it's work. I want to be very clear about that. I'm glad that we're doing this little mini episode.
And what about Teddy? What did Teddy get paid?
Okay, so Beverly Hills, I don't know this to be certain, but they are a different
entity.
I would say Beverly Hills and Atlanta are, and probably New York, are neck and neck for like what new cast members come in and start making. So what I'm about to say is that what I'm trying to convey here is that it's not that Beverly Hills is better than OC, or Atlanta is better than Potomac, or New York is better than, I don't know, SLC. It's just that they've been around longer. So the stakes are higher. The money starts off at a different point. So typically a first season cast member on any show, I know it's probably changed by now, but they're going to be making anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 an episode for their first season.
Okay.
10 years ago, it ran the gamut, right? 10 years ago, it was probably like $1,000 an episode for your first season, or $1,500. Now it's different. Now it varies because inflation.
Well,
God, isn't that a sad thing to say that reality stars get, I don't want to get there, but anyway, reality stars get paid as a first season cast member anywhere from $1,500 to $2,500 per episode.
Is it true that Denise Richards made like a record high coming in? Because obviously she's Denise Richards.
Yes.
I don't know what she negotiated, but I do think it was public.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So that's why I was comparing Beverly Hills, Atlanta, and New York. Those are the three that, it's not that they play by a different set of roles.
They just have different people come on because they might be in the show business.
Correct. Because of show business, because of where they sit on the tier of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Like SLC, OC, those are still embodying and kind of following the format of what Real Housewives was started on.
Yeah.
Which was
the origin story.
Yes, the origin. Whereas these others, they are so ingratiated into the entertainment industry. They come in being able to play a heavier hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Denise.
But can I say this? She signed a $3 million 3-year deal.
So then what happens when she doesn't, what happens with the contract if she doesn't want to do, because she did not do a third season? I mean, I know that legality or anything.
I would say that her contract had her.
Like, you think she had to pay it out?
No, she did not. I've seen other cast members leave shows and they don't pay anything out and they're still under contract. But what I was going to say is that her deal was $3 million for 3 years.
Okay. That's what I remember. A million a year being like the most first season,
because she was making no more than Lisa Rinna.
A record deal. Record deal.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, the first season.
Lisa Rinna, Lisa Vanderpump, Kyle, they were all making that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I would say Erica wasn't, but the rest of them were.
But that's why it was a big deal, because it was her first season and she was making that out of the gate. But it's because she was Denise Richards and, you know, C'est la vie.
And she got because she was going to bring people in. Yeah. It just runs the gamut and you get more as you go on. So what's interesting is that, because I'll see this out like on the internet, people are like, oh my God, so-and-so got demoted. They're just a friend of. But what I will say is that friend of, if they get demoted, they're still getting paid the same episodic fee as they were if they were an A-cast member. For me, it's almost a better get. You don't have to commit yourself as much as you would as an A cast member, but more likely, more often than not, you'll get paid as much as you were as an A-cast member. You're just not guaranteed the episodes. So you're not necessarily guaranteed to be in every episode throughout the entire season. But most contracts aren't like that anyway. They'll do a 7-episode guarantee, and then after that, it's whatever they decide.
So do you think most of that, when people get upset, it has to be a pride issue?
Yeah, I think
they're demoting me to a side character.
100%.
If it's not a money situation. It's an ego thing,
yeah. Because like, for instance, Vicky got demoted, but Vicky was going to get paid the exact same she got paid per episode. Yeah,
that hurt her ego big time because 100%. She was an OG.
Yeah.
It did not look good on her those last few seasons.
But most networks will never do, they'll never promise all episodes. They'll do like a 7-8 episode guarantee, depending on the show, depending on the episode order.
Now I know, again, you're not like a legal person, but speaking of contracts, and when it comes to cast trips, okay? Because I know, and this varies all Bravo shows across the board. When they go on trips, there's a lot of times certain castmates that might be at, you know, odd ends with each other that you would think in normal life, well, I'm not going to go on that trip with someone because X, Y, and Z, I don't want to hang out with them.
Yeah.
But typically they end up going, right? So is there something in the contract that's like, you have to go on and you have to participate in this many cast trips or?
No.
There's not?
Mm-mm.
So they can say, I'm going to, but is it a situation like, if I don't want to go on this cast trip, is it going to be like, well, fine, you don't have to go, but we're not going to film whatever you're doing at home?
No, they'll either step in and film whatever they're filming at home if they can. They probably won't, though, because all the crew is going to be filming
the cast. Will be with the trip.
Yes. Okay. So anything that you see that's intercut with people being at home, an intercut means that it's two different scenarios that feel like one scene, but it's intercut going back and forth, ping ponging from, you know, so-and-so at this dinner to so-and-so at this dinner. Anyway, by the way, I really don't mean to sound like I'm mansplaining. I'm sure a lot of you know what that is, but in case you didn't.
I don't know what it is. But
anyway, no, it's not, they're not obligated. Now, will it make the show better? Sure. I think it depends. I think sometimes it makes sense.
Well, the other reason I ask is because I can think of, and don't ask me because I won't be able to think of specifics, but I can think of like historically Bravo shows where I'm like, why did that castmate go on that trip?
Like which one?
Well, exactly. Exactly. But I mean, just like thinking of like, you shouldn't have gone on that trip, but yet they're like, no, go. Like there's always one appointed castmate who's a friend that's like, no, you need to go. You need a break. You need an escape. Yeah. You need to go. And then they're like
Jill Zarin.
The last minute they're like, okay, I'll go. But Gerald, like but Jill came late. That was like a huge other issue.
Remember she wasn't going to go though. And so she came and Ramona was like,
why is she saying hello?
What is she doing here? Oh,
wait,
God.
Wait, did she say hello or surprise?
Surprise. Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't even know what to say. It's Jill. I don't even know what to say right now. It's Jill. And they're all getting their nails done. Yes. And then here Alex is breaking out into hives.
Yeah.
I just think it's an interesting concept because I think without cameras, obviously a handful of these people would not be going on trips together. But I think they have a job to do. And I think in the back of their mind, they know that. And so maybe they put it aside to go on the trip.
Here's what happens when you don't go on a trip. You lose the opportunity to make more money on an episodic fee. Because if you watch any show and they go on a cast trip, how many episodes is that?
Oh, at least 3.
Yeah.
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 I mean, unless Kyle's trip, and then it's 1.5.
God. I know.
I'm not complaining. I'm glad it was only 1.5.
Yeah, and sometimes the networks will do you even more dirty, and you'll be in the episode, but you won't be like in the majority of it, and they'll go, cut her out. Cut him out. Because they don't want to pay.
So you don't get paid?
Yes, I've worked on shows that have done that.
You don't get paid for your time. You only get paid if you go to air?
Correct.
That's fucked.
Is it? Yeah.
Oh my
God. That's why I said
is dirty.
Exactly. That's why I was saying earlier, contracts don't have like episodic, they have episodic guarantees, but they won't have a full season guarantee because they don't know how many episodes they're ordering. They'll order 10, right? Say a network orders 10 episodes.
Okay.
But if the story is really, really good, you could look at a 14-15 episode
show.
But they don't do that because they don't want to make guarantees, and they don't want to give all the money. Like, they don't want to give all the money to you to make the show, and then it not they don't get a return on the investment. So what they'll say is we're gonna do an eight episode buy-in. Then when they're getting the material in, the network is like, this is really good. This is good shit. We can split this one trip into three episodes. So instead of an eight episode, we're going to push it to 12. Do you need a little bit more money? Because we have money. We can give you a little bit more. Sometimes they don't.
But if you're saying, based on performance, but if you're basically saying, I'm a Teddy Mellencamp.
Yeah.
And I'm not even a friend of, like, let's take, for example, last week's episode where Teddy was just there.
When she showed up
in the background,
she went to Kyle's like Kyle.
Yeah, whatever.
Opening. She's like, in Palm Springs.
I am Kyle, but I'm Teddy, in case you want to know.
Yeah.
Let's exaggerate that and say Teddy then came back to the house, and then Teddy stayed the next morning. But it was so interesting that the network cut it out. But Teddy was there and Teddy was involved. You're saying that they cut Teddy out. So now, even though Teddy was there, Teddy's not going to get paid for that because she didn't make it to the screen.
Yes, if she sucks came to the event Teddy with the intention of to get paid.
Okay.
And it was okay.
She was so interesting that they cut it out.
So she's not on the show anymore. She's no longer a cast member.
Correct.
So that will change for people who come back to the show, right? But for a show specifically like Beverly Hills, where there's more industry people, those are going to all be like contracts.
Okay.
Whereas, if you watch Summer House and you see people from Southern Charm going to Summer House, they're not necessarily contracted, like, to be a cast member. They're, like, a day rate, or they're just paid differently. Whereas somebody like on Beverly Hills, because it's more so ingratiated in the entertainment industry, somebody like Teddy Mellencamp will already have a contract in place to...
Whether she makes it to air or not, she's going to get paid somehow.
Yes.
Okay.
But it won't be like a day rate. It's probably more like a contract, like, well, because, you know, it's Hollywood. So there's just more.
Yeah. More fine print.
Yes. Basically. There's more fine print because of where they are. So somebody like Teddy is probably going to have, like, she'll be like, look, I want to get her contract, maybe, like, and I'm pontificating. I'm not saying this is what it is. Like, I want to get paid $2,500 for showing up. But it might be she has to pay $2,500 and X, Y, and Z. Or hers is probably like, if I show up to an event and I make it into the episode, I get an episodic fee. That's probably more of a contract that she would have. Mm-hmm. So she shows up.
With Kyle's event, though.
Yes. And they don't use her voice.
Sure? I'm with Kyle.
What?
She's like, make sure it's a Kyle event.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I think she just has it probably... Just in general, if she shows up to anything, she gets paid a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. But using her likeness in the sense of they're showing her, but they're not using her voice. They're not using any of that. I mean, I'm not saying that's why she left. I'm giving it more as an example of as to why a person might get edited out of a show. Like, I've worked on shows where they don't want to pay. They don't want to pay for somebody showing up to a party. So they say, cut them out, cut around them. We don't want to pay their episodic fee.
Well, that's different, a one-time event, than someone maybe coming around a couple times and then cutting them out of all of it, right? I mean, and not paying them if they came around for like a couple of different episodes.
Yes, but this was a cast member that was on a show that was a cast member.
Who? Teddy?
No, I'm talking about my experience.
Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to figure out, because it seemed like it would have been really wrong if, like, someone came around and they were in an arc of, like, three episodes, but then somehow it didn't make it to air, so then they're not going to get paid.
I mean, the way that I took it was they didn't want to pay her, but I could be wrong.
I'm not talking about Teddy. I mean, Teddy is...
Like, for instance, you watched the Jersey reunion, right?
Yes.
And Tracy.
Who?
Tracy Barber.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tracy Barber was a friend of the season.
Wife, yeah.
Yeah.
She was sitting in that chair.
Tracy Barber was a friend of. So she got paid for the episodes that she was in.
Okay. Which was a decent amount.
And she filmed the reunion part 1, 2, and 3 and got cut out.
They did her
dirty. So they didn't pay her the episodic fee. There have been other, so by the way, I don't know if you've ever known this, but there are other housewives who were slated to be friends of or part of the franchise that filmed in a lot of scenes that in the post edit or post production, they edited them out of the show completely. They were around here and there, but they were edited out completely. They didn't show their interviews. They didn't show anything, but they filmed all of it.
So they only got paid for really what they showed.
Which is nothing. Yeah. So some of these people didn't get paid for anything. Isn't that sad?
Well, that's TV. I guess that's the TV biz.
They don't pay anything because they assume that you're gonna reap so many rewards from just being simply on a show. Like people on The Bachelor, a show that I worked on, they don't get paid.
Well, I wouldn't. Well,
The Bachelor or The Bachelorette gets paid.
But that doesn't surprise me. That
the girls or the guys.
That doesn't surprise me that the contestants don't get paid. But
see, I love how people call them contestants.
What are they?
Well, it's not a competition show.
Yeah, it is. What the fuck is it then?
They don't win anything at the end.
Yeah, they do. They win a prize. They win the prize of being an influencer.
No, they don't, though. They win the win engagement.
What do you call them? You don't call them castmates.
Cast members. Call them cast members on a show.
Well, but see.
Dude, it makes me sad.
Yeah, but
when I worked on it, the majority of the seasons that I worked on, it was a bachelor and then the 25 bachelorettes.
Yeah.
And they leave their homes and then they don't get paid anything. I remember having to check them into hotels and their cards would be declined when they would check them in for.
Did they have to pay for the hotels?
They didn't have to pay for the hotels, but they have to put a card down on file.
Incidentals.
Stuff, yeah. And the card would be declined because they were maxing out their cards to come to the show. They don't get paid anything. By the way, this was before social media existed. Social media existed, but it was before
you can't count MySpace and Facebook.
No, but I mean, like, Instagram was around, right. But people weren't the Kardashians.
It's not used the same as it is now.
No, the Kardashians weren't even what they were now, what they were at the time that this. So these girls, I mean, they were broke.
Yeah.
They don't make any money.
Well, yes. No, I agree. And that doesn't surprise me that the contestants don't make money, but I didn't know. I mean, it makes sense now, like the Bachelor or the Bachelorette would maybe make something because the way that it's cycled now, they've already been through what I will call the program. So they've already been either on the Bachelorette or the Bachelor and they got selected to be.
Well, how much money do you think that they make?
Oh, I don't think that much. I mean, I don't know.
When I worked on it, like they were making like 200,000.
That's a lot of money. I was going to say like 10,000.
But that's how much like 3 or 4 year cast members will make on a Bravo show.
But I think that the reason now is that, like, you know, people go onto these shows to try to become the Bachelor or the Bachelorette. They're like, I don't want to quote unquote win.
Of course.
I want to be either the runner up or the third. I want to be well loved by everyone so I can be the next Bachelor or the Bachelorette.
Yeah.
Because I think it pays off in the long run. But that show is never been one of my favorites, but my sister watches it. So unfortunately I've tuned in and I've had a lot of fun. I've laughed a lot, but it's been a very annoying show to watch.
It was at the start of my career. I feel like when I started,
you should be proud of it.
I mean,
it's still one of the biggest reality shows that
it
there is.
But I will say that when I worked on it, then it felt like it was during a time where it felt like Camelot.
Well, and maybe more organic and more authentic.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's very toxic. Yes. And it's very, it's like, we know what you are.
To me, it wasn't that there weren't, like you said earlier, it wasn't that there weren't people who were in it for the wrong reasons. Those reasons just didn't happen to be like, I want to be an Instagram influencer with 2 million followers. It would just be like, you know.
They want to be on TV.
They want to be on TV or whatever. And It did. It felt much more organic. I felt like I got an opportunity to work on it during a time where it was Camelot. It felt magical and like, if I'm honest, it felt like almost the end of an era, the end of a Hollywood era where everything was big lights and big glam and like.
And not to give it away, or maybe we can because it was so long ago, but not to give it away for you Bachelor fans, but one of the seasons JJ worked on is one of the very few couples that have actually stayed together from the show.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you can say that. You can say
I don't remember their names, though. You're going to have to fill in the blanks. The guy, he was from Texas.
Sean.
What was the girl's name?
Catherine.
Yeah. I was like, maybe it's so long ago that we can say that.
Sean Lowe.
But like, you were part of one of the successful. And when I say successful, I don't mean like they got engaged. Successful meaning like they've actually stayed together and they have a family. And
they've been together for 10 years.
Yeah. That's all thanks to JJ. Thank you.
Well, what's so funny is that it's no thanks to me. Well, but I serve drinks on the rose ceremony nights.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing is because
on the rose ceremony nights,
the way that it's perceived is that you leave the phones, you leave everything at the door, right? So they have no communication to the outside.
When I worked on it, no magazines, no books, no radio,
nothing.
Cell phones at that time were still like not flip phones.
You don't really have. Yeah, I don't really have.
But we weren't on like Instagram on our phones. Yeah. I mean. Yeah, because I don't even think I had, maybe I had Instagram that summer, but like we didn't put, it just didn't exist the way that it does now. It was just like an app you had, you posted like every like 6 weeks. And so, yes, they left everything behind. I mean, well, this is during a time where everyone still had Blackberries, guys. Blackberries.
Yeah, I never had one. I had a flip phone. I had a Blackberry. But I think that's part of the show is that like you have to leave all of the exterior out.
Yeah.
All you have is all of the same women wanting to date the same guy or all the same men wanting to date the same woman. And we're going to feed you a bunch of alcohol and just go.
Yeah.
Right. And then all these goofy challenges. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I remember that I loved, because JJ and I actually lived together in Los Angeles when she was filming this season. And I can't even tell you what episode it was because it was 100 years ago, but I remember watching like one of the date nights or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like a handwritten letter. And JJ was like, I wrote that letter.
I did.
Because remember when they were like, maybe it was like one of the fantasy suites or something. It was one like, or maybe it wasn't a letter. Maybe it was a dinner. And you're like, I went to Trader Joe's and I got that dinner. I put that dinner out there. That's what it was.
By the way, that's what it was. It was barbecue.
Yeah.
It was barbecue.
They perceived it as that, like they were cooking barbecue. They were having this like fun
grill. It was the first time.
And JJ was like, I went and fucking picked that food up and put that on the table.
Yes. I remember exactly what it was. Because Sean stayed at his own like bachelor place that was like up the road from where the Bachelor Mansion was.
Yeah.
And it's the barbecue place like up down the road on Canaan in Calabasas, like near where the Kardashians live.
Yeah.
And so I didn't realize that what I was picking up was going to be like on camera food. And they did. They made it seem like he cooked it. And I was like, he did not cook this. But I will say with the date cards, it was like somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody like on the show was the same person who wrote them for like all the years.
Well, because the handwriting was the same.
Yeah. Which is wild is that when I worked on the show, and by the way, I was like a PA, I ended up being a cast handler later, but I started out as a PA. And when I started out, the show had already been around for 10 years.
So crazy.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it is.
But that's the golden age of reality television, guys. There's a time of television, especially working in reality. And look, I love what I do. I wouldn't give it up for anything, but it has shifted. It is different now than it was then. During the golden age, it was no holds barred. We're talking first season of Jersey Shore. We're talking a Real World is like kind of starting to come to an end. Mm-hmm. We're talking The Bachelor. We're talking like a lot of shows that were around in the early 2000s, but it started to make more sense towards the late aughts, which is what the end of 2010 is called, or from 2000 to 2010, they're called the aughts. Okay. So like towards the end of the aughts, when you're switching over, it was like the pinnacle of reality television. Like Ready for Love, not Ready for Love.
Flavor of Love.
So Flavor of Love.
Oh my God, that other guy.
Rock of Love.
Oh, like, I love that show.
To me, like
VH1.
This is like reality TV peak. Now, it's still really, really good. By the way, it's probably better. But my point being is this is during a time when you were in it for the right reasons.
Yeah.
you know, yeah. weren't doing it to have an Instagram
and
following.
And now everything, we appreciate the shows we have, but it's now like a dime a dozen, right? It's like, yeah. we have so many Housewives franchises. We have so many dating shows.
Yeah.
Hell, we have like 3 dating shows specific to Netflix.
Reality TV was just such a different time back then.
Yeah.
And it's great now, but...
it's just different. I mean, everything does have to evolve, but
yeah, like the conversation's just different. Like when I started out, no one was like, when
you can't say that, or you can say this,
that, or well, I mean, look, I don't want anybody to be offensive, but
right.
people were just felt much more filtered and just even saying anything about how they felt like,
yeah,
but it just transitioned over. I would say about 2015, 2016 is when it started to shift. And it's not that I enjoy it any less now than I did then, but what I do miss is the purity of it. What I miss is, you know, I'll have conversations now with cast members who will tell me, like, you know, my girlfriend only started dating me because I'm on a show, or I hate them because look how many followers they have and they quit and they got more followers. Like what I'm trying to say is that in the conversation, there's always this space where everyone's talking about followers and Instagram nowadays. And Twitter. And yeah. And it kind mm-hmm. of just takes the fun out of it. Like
yeah.
if I'm talking to somebody about their feelings as a producer, I don't like, I'm not talking about their audience and their followers. Like,
right.
And a lot of cast members.
You're trying to be like, what's going on with your life right now yes. that we're going to be
and
show?
And it's really hard sometimes. Or they'll talk to me like, I care about that shit. And I just don't. Like, yeah. I don't care how many followers you have. I will never care. I don't care. I don't care how many followers I have. And I just don't care about that stuff. It's very superficial. Either. It won't last forever. And what I want people to understand is that, yes, so like Instagram's going to last until it doesn't.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that it'll get so overused and overburned and it gets so burnt out that people will go, I'm done with Instagram. And they'll move on to something else that's brand new where they get to capitalize and make like, more money. And
Instagram right now is the pre-Facebook, right? Like who the fuck uses Facebook anymore?
That's
really?
Exactly.
Like
that's
we
exactly
all still have
saying.
A Facebook account, but like who's yeah, really no active on
no,
Facebook?
But that's what I'm saying.
No one.
Instagram's
so, right.
going to turn into
Instagram
that.
Is the pre-Facebook yeah. right now.
And so where the space that I live in is, I don't care about any of that.
I don't
never
care
will,
either. I don't
because
care
my job
either.
Still exists and I will continue to do my job. Right. My job doesn't stop and start for social media.
For Instagram.
Yeah,
no,
it doesn't. So anyway. We jibber jabbered. By the way, I want to say this. We would love feedback. Please tell us what you want to hear, you don't want to hear.
Where
questions.
Do they leave feedback?
Well, they on can the go gram? To our Instagram. Okay. Yeah. Go to our Instagram, Reality Bites Podcast.
Yeah, I think we're up to like 16 followers. So,
ew, 50.
Oh, alternative.
Yeah. Half of them are people we know.
That's all right. I got to start following it. Whoopsie.
Pathetic. But no, but seriously, we would love the feedback.
We would love this. Yeah. Give us the feedback.
Well, I'm a masochist.
Well,
so I want to be beaten with feedback. Beat me.
Good or bad, baby. But I would rather have medium feedback.
Just don't feedback that same.
In fact, neither here nor there. Just send me feedback about the moon.
Just send it to me.
Yeah, send it to JJ. Because the truth is I won't read it and or I won't see it. It's
very Libra of you.
Mm.
By the way, it's very Virgoan of me to be like, I want all the feedback. I want you to tell me how much of a piece of shit I am. And then I want you to build me back up. I want you to take me down. And then I
to
want
to knock you over again.
Up. Yeah. I want you to bring me down so I can build myself back up.
Build me up, buttercup. Okay. I think we can do that.
No, I'm kidding. But I do guys, rate review.
All the stuff.
Send us questions. Actually, this is what I want. I want everyone who's listening to this, if you get a chance, you don't have to follow us on Instagram, but at least, at the very least, go to Instagram, send us DMs. I read them all. Cannot say the same for Betsy, but I read them all. If there are any production questions, mm-hmm. things that happen behind the scenes, because here's what I'll say. As much as I love talking about what I do and how it pertains to the things that you're seeing at home as a viewer, it's so inherent. I've been doing this for a really long time that sometimes I have a hard time. It's so ingratiated, right? So it's so part of me that I have a hard time being like, oh, that's something I could talk about. Like, oh, that moment, or like interviews and continuity, or like there are just things that I don't think about. Story. How do we form story? How do we do? And mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be able to talk about it in reference the shows that we're watching. Because sometimes I just don't quite know.
Yeah.
What to say.
Well, and even if you have just to
talk about like in that way,
general questions, I can't tell you how many times like I would voice memo JJ and be like, what is this about? Mm-hmm. Just any, like, you know, like how cast trips work, or how like confessionals work, like, and how many days they're shot over, like how, like the, just like kind of the makeup and the breakdown of just how the show functions, I think would be really interesting to know. But sometimes it's hard to like maneuver it into our conversation. But if y'all do have any burning questions or just things that y'all are curious about, definitely ask, because we've got a little pro sitting here and her name is Betsy.
I'm a wealth of knowledge. I'm a wealth of knowledge. Also, my Venmo is JJ at, I'm just kidding.